You know, back when I was in university, I had this dream about becoming a university professor and pursuing research. Unfortunately, the realities of paying for my beer tab got in the way, and my life took a very different turn. I didn't choose in my life to be an activist. I chose to be a businessman, and that's what I've done for the last 25 so odd years. And here I am, finding myself heading up an organization that's trying to be an activist group for the entire nation on an issue that's actually devastating our country. It's an interesting transformation for me, and I'm learning as I go here because, quite honestly, I'm not experienced at what many of you here are all too experienced with. I think as we go through this phase in our own organization and the development of this grassroots movement, we realize the heart and soul and the energy that people like yourselves have been putting into the issues that you hold dear to your heart. I think one of the things that's really struck me about getting involved in this is the people that I come in contact with. Most of the people I deal with these days aren't activists. They're farmers, they're businessmen, teachers, nurses, hippies, actually. I'm meeting a lot of those out of the Tweed area. The interesting part of that is that these people are galvanized to a cause. They weren't brought to it because they went into the papers and said, you know, I want to find an issue that I believe in and I want to get passionate about and I want to get active on. Most of them didn't even think they'd ever become an activist in anything. They thought they'd go through their lives doing whatever they do, go quietly to their graves, looking at the success of grandchildren and a life well spent. But what's brought them together isn't just coal seam gas, by the way, it's coal as well. It's watching our country be devastated by the mining industry. It's watching coal being running rampant through areas that people would have thought were sacrosanct. It's watching the development of coal seam gas, a relatively new industry in the game, literally try to cancerously fill in the gaps. It's watching our corporate greed win over our governments and trample all over our democratic rights. This is what's really galvanized people to this issue. But people typically don't come to this issue because of some national cause or some national issue. What brings them to the table is looking down the street and suddenly finding with surprise there's a new coal mine going in or there's a coal seam gas field under development. That wakes them up. Most of the people I deal with didn't find this out through the appropriate channels. They didn't have some sort of public meeting or someone knocking on their door to tell them about a new development. They opened up the newspaper and found out that, oh my God, they're drilling down the road. This was news to them. They started trying to understand what this meant to them. What does it mean if this happens? What happens if I allow this to go on? They ask the company. They try and find somebody there that will answer their questions. More often than not, they don't get any answers. And when they do, they're left with a queasy feeling that the answers aren't valid. Then they go and look to their governments and say, well, gee, you're part of the process. You represent me. What are you doing? Whether it's the local government, the state government, whoever they choose to talk to. And quickly, unfortunately, they find that these things are rolling through and often approved before they've had a chance to have a talk. And even when they do have a talk, they often find that they don't have anyone listening. So they get upset. They get angry. They get frustrated. And they start talking to their neighbors, and their neighbors start getting angry and frustrated. Before you know it, community groups form. And all over this nation, this has been happening. Some of these groups have been around for a number of years. These people have been fighting the cause in a number of ways. Oh, gee, the energy and effort that's gone into it is staggering. Some of the earlier groups tried to find an issue that they could focus on and try and bring that to the public attention, try and bring it to the political attention. I think of groups that form around a healthy environment, perhaps looking at river systems, perhaps looking at simply the lifestyle in their area. And they try desperately to get their message out. And they really struggle at this. Because the blunt reality is the mining industry, and with the cooperation of the government, are extremely good at isolating people. They isolate individuals, they split up communities, and then the communities themselves are isolated. I've met people that have been at this for 20 years, some for as few as a few months. The story is the same. It's an incredible story of frustration, incredible story of I can't find someone to listen to me and I can't seem to get the answers that we need. And yet this continues to go on. So people have, in these community groups, focused a lot of time and attention into how they can define something in their area that needs protecting, something in their area that makes it special, something in their area that would get the government to listen and say, you're right, we shouldn't do it here. We'll do it somewhere else. This is the NIMBY attitude we're all too familiar with when it comes to these issues, you know, as long as it's somewhere else and not in my backyard. The truth is, most of the people aren't thinking that way, but that's where they end up. And quite honestly, that's the way the governments and the mining companies seem to want them. Because when they're acting that way, they can be discounted, they can be dissuaded. So the Lock the Gate organization wasn't one built on the basis that someone sat back and said, you know what, there's this burbling issue out here. We need to start galvanizing people to this issue and get them engaged in the cause. The Lock the Gate was actually an evolution of grassroots development, of communities that were frustrated, communities that couldn't find an answer. I actually got involved, as you may tell from my accent, I'm actually Australian, seventh generation, with a funny accent, but I actually moved here less than 2 years ago from Canada. And where I moved to was up in the Hunter Valley, a town called Broke. And I was very lucky to move on a piece of property there, and it's actually a very idyllic spot. And most of the people that we call our neighbors have moved there as well from, say, Sydney or other surrounds, and they've chosen to live there because of the lifestyle. These people had found themselves with coal over the hill. Somehow they tolerated it. They put up with it. There was a lot of noise, there's a lot of dust, there's a lot of light, infrastructure issues, but they sort of dealt with it. And then coal seam gas showed up on the scene. And suddenly they realized what they thought was sacrosanct wasn't. And that coal seam gas was going to roll through the valley. So this community formed an action group, and they've been at it for 6 years. 6 years they've been at this. They've been trying everything they could think of to get the message out there. They've tried protests. They've tried talking to the company. They've tried talking to the governments, both sides of the houses. People are very connected in this community, so they can actually call up a guy like Barry O'Farrell and says, I want to have a chat. In the end, it's not working. They're stuck. And they're stuck because the government sits there and gives them nice words and nice noise, and meanwhile the approvals keep going through. Because at the end of the day, you can almost see the politician sitting there going, so where are you from? Broke. That's, 200 votes? Okay, we'll get to your issue someday. So this community that was involved here, I got involved with this group, and I actually got asked to see if I could help lead it a little on a more full-time basis, which I ended up doing. Actually, they asked me to work a couple of days a week. And if you're into these types of causes, you know these aren't a couple of days a week activities. Before you know it, your entire life is immersed in it. And that's exactly what happened to me. One of the things I quickly realized is we have to start talking to people outside our immediate area. We have to be raising awareness. We have to get people aware that there's a concern here and there's a reason why they should share that concern. So we started talking to broader communities, out to Pocolbin, for example, down in Wallumbai. Found a lot of people were concerned and were willing to stand up and do something about it. Granted, it was always, you know, is this going to affect my area? Yeah, quite probably. Well, then I'll get engaged. But nonetheless, that wasn't enough. Even when we had the Hunter Valley Wine Industry Association and various other communities engaged in some very big names, we still weren't getting the attention we needed. So it dawned on me and a couple of others that what we really needed to do was talk to all these other community groups we kept hearing about. We heard ones in Corunna, we heard ones up in Queensland, we heard ones down in the Southern Highlands. And we thought, you know, we really should start chatting with these people. So we called a meeting back last November, just a forum we called it. It was easy to invite people up to the Hunter Valley with a promise of wine. Certainly succeeded. We got 65 community groups out. I was actually overwhelmed. The day or two before the event, we only had, I think, 20 registrations. And then the day of the event, all these people just kept showing up. The nub of it was is that when we sat down, we realized we all had a common concern, and we all had a common issue, and we all had the common frustrations that nobody was listening to us. Some people had spent an enormous amount of time and energy to do it. Some people had spent staggering amounts of money. You know, one community group spent $2 million so far fighting the issue, and they're not winning. So the realization was is that if we started working together and putting our arms together and started raising our voices together, we might have a better shot at this. So we did, and we launched the Lock the Gate Alliance. We launched this with big ideals. We had 60 community groups sitting in the room that day back at the beginning of November, but we looked at this as a national cause and a national issue. And so our communications were immediately out saying, you know, wherever you are, if you feel that this is something you're concerned about, please join the group and add your voices to it. We also started reaching out to say, this doesn't matter if it's in your backyard or not, because quite honestly, the impacts of this are affecting us all. And quite honestly, that grassroots movement has surprised me. We've actually moved dramatically in a very short time. We've gone from just a group of people sitting in a wine cellar back in November to thousands of people and groups from across Australia signing up to this cause. We've had some stars aligned that helped us. So when we talk about what worked last year and what didn't work, we had some stars aligned for us that made it work. One of those stars was Gasland, the movie. And if you haven't seen it, do. If you want to see what's about to come rolling through this country like a freight train, go see this movie. You may have a focus on climate change. You may have a focus on CO2, but guess what? This is an issue that affects you, and it is about CO2 as well. This is a challenge that faces us all. What didn't work? What doesn't work is getting inside the tent, where you're told to come in and here are the rules and here are the boundaries, and this is what you can say and this is what you can't say. When we did that, we got a lot of nice words and nothing is an end result. What we're telling the people of this nation, what we're telling our politicians, is that they're not in the tent. We're in the tent. They got to come into our tent. They don't have a choice. Because at the end of the day, this isn't just about some activists and some people they like to call radicals, as I stare around the room at a bunch of you. This is about everybody. It's the same with climate change. It's the same with the CO2 issue. This affects us all. And they have to wake up and they have to listen. And if they don't, they're going to go. Because quite honestly, anything less than what we're demanding isn't enough. We'll take a step or two along the way and acknowledge them as they go, but they have to understand it's not enough. We have to put a stop to this. We have to figure out what we're doing. We have to have a plan and a vision to go forward towards. I had a lovely little survey out in the hall out here before I came in. And what I liked about it is when I was asked the question about whether the country's doing enough about renewable energy, I said no. Why? Because there's no vision. That's what we need. We need vision. We need leadership. And leadership is not going to come from our coal mining companies, and it's not going to come from our gas companies. It's going to come from the people in this room and other people throughout this nation. And when we start figuring out that coal's got to stop and coal seam gas doesn't have a place here at all, then maybe we have a shot at seeing a future where climate change can be dealt with properly. I admire people like you. I can't say I was one of you. I certainly had my opinions and my beliefs, but I wasn't one of those people that chose this as a lifestyle or as a passion to focus on. But thank God for people like you. Because it's with your grassroots efforts and the energy that you put in every day to raise these issues that the rest of us can learn and the rest of us can build a solution for the future. Please know that your ranks are being swelled every day. And maybe not everyone that's in the group of Lock the Gate will sit down and agree with you wholeheartedly on specific scientific issues. But I can guarantee you we all share the same passion. We all share the same passion that we need a vision, we need leadership, we need to know where we're going, and coal and coal seam gas are not part of that long-term vision.